RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tiki on the Fan, hour number three. We're taking it up until 7 p.m. tonight. Scotty Farrell making us earn that new year, Tiki. Making us earn that new year today. The full show will be back together Friday, this Friday. So we have New Year's Eve tomorrow, New Year's Day, and then Friday we will be back all together for one final afternoon show before the new lineup takes into effect on Monday. So it's all coming hot and heavy here on this New Year's week. So the Giants beat the Raiders on Sunday, and a lot of people melted down about the idea that they cost themselves the number one pick.
Yes, they did.
Of course, as we know, there's still a chance, although Tiki doesn't think there's any chance in hell the Chiefs will lose.
There's a chance.
It would involve the Raiders beating the Chiefs and the Giants losing to the Cowboys for the Giants to get the number one. If the Giants lose to Dallas, though, on Sunday, they're guaranteed no less than number two. However, if the Giants beat the Cowboys, depending on certain outcomes, they could fall to as far as number seven in the draft order. Now, you want to see Giant fans melt down. Once that happen? Jerry Jones.
But I don't know if I would. I mean, I'd be upset because it means we're not collecting assets by trading with somebody who wants to come get a quarterback. But and I also don't feel like we're missing out on the player that we need in the draft.
Probably,
but it's just one instead of multiple.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think it's just the infatuation we get the multiple. But slotting the seven at that point, you're still going to get a good player. I think, Tiki, it's just the idea of sitting through the garbage football the Giants fans had to sit through and sitting through the year and going, wait a minute, we got rewarded with the seventh pick after sitting through another four-win season?
Right.
But why does this matter? Jerry Jones met the media this afternoon. We're going to start Dak. How we use Dak, let's make that part of the game plan we won't talk about. So yesterday, it sounded like all full steam ahead. Dak Prescott wants to play. Dak Prescott wants to win.
Of course he does.
But here are the Dallas Cowboys, and that's their owner telling you. I mean, how do you read that quote?
It sounds like he's going to rest the Dak. He's going to tell Dak, go get the requisite amount of yards so that you lead the NFL in passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you hit that number, we're sitting you down.
All right.
Because he's leading the league right now.
Okay.
And he's the bold in the NFL. I forget who's second, but I mean,
is it Stafford or May?
It's one of those guys. But I don't think it's necessarily close. It actually is very close. It is Stafford. And Stafford is back by 40 something yards. So go throw for 200 yards and a half. And then the rest of that is on
Joe Milton. And remember, Joe Milton did play that final game last year for the Patriots and actually won the game and killed the Patriots draft stock a little bit.
Right.
That doesn't mean the Giants are going to go out there and beat Joe Milton in the second half. But if you were thinking, hey, this is going to be another classic Dak beats the Giants game, be careful.
Yeah, but just like the Patriots last year, it didn't matter because you already had your quarterback. You know what I mean? It didn't become that damaging for the New England Patriots.
But seven's a big deal, Tiki. Now, a lot would have to happen. They need to have like five other teams. But each one of the teams that wins, I think it involves the Jets. They're not going to win.
What did they pick? They picked fourth. The Patriots.
The Patriots picked fourth, but they could have been the first overall pick.
And done what?
Maybe they could have made a trade. Now, it did affect them.
It didn't affect them because they had a ton of draft picks last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they drafted five, six. They drafted 11 guys last year. They had like three seventh rounders.
I'm not saying that it hurt New England in any way, but I remember at the time, New England fans freaking out. New England also got the benefit of hiring Mike Vrabel. I'm going to operate under the assumption right now the Giants are not hiring a Mike Vrabel type. Maybe they will. If the Giants won, the Jets, the Titans, the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Commanders are all in play here. If every single one of those teams lost, the Giants would slide to 7. Any one of them wins, then the Giants only go back one spot. So, like, if the Commanders beat or an Eagle team that decides to rest anybody late in that game, the Giants could fall to 6 or something like that. The point being, it feels good today as a Giant fan to go, you know what? You pick a second overall. You feel good about that win. Right. Dak Prescott will beat him anyway. I am just predicting outrage on Black Monday. If we wake up after a four wins, Tiki, we're not talking about 6 wins, we're not talking about 7 wins. This season has been hell. If they win 4 games, and the win is because, you know what, the defense really just thrived versus Joe Milton in the second half, and you sat through what you sat through, and the Giants are picking 7th, and then come draft day, forget the trade-up. Caleb Downs is gone, Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese, your big linebackers, are gone.
Right.
And there's the Giants going, do we take Jeremiah Love as a running back at 7th overall?
No.
We are going to scream and yell about this. We are. You know what? We're nuts, Steaky. The fans are nuts. The Giants are going to try to win the game. They should try to win the game. I don't want players feeling like they need to lay down their swords. But this is now on the table. If this big win streak the Cowboys have had with Dak Prescott goes out the window because the Cowboys decide to sit him on the last game of the
year. For me, if I'm the Giants, I'm looking for a baller from a big school that's playing in the college football playoff. Someone who's proven it and is not a, well, he was a good player at a school that nobody cares about type of thing. Yeah, he played at South Carolina, whatever school it is. Doesn't even matter.
Inserted here.
Right. So, like, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a bona fide star player from a school where you had to be a star in order to play. You know what I mean?
Ohio State, Alabama.
Yeah, you didn't just walk into your scholarship and get handed the starting job.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So I'm with you on that.
You had to earn it. You had to earn it in college. You proved it year over year.
So you don't want Deontay Banks from Maryland again.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, someone who went to a big school and had to work to get his job, and then once he got it, he was great. That's what the Giants need. They need more players like that. Guys that know what it takes to work in order to be successful, not guys who are handed success and just kind of took the accolades.
I do worry, though, if they pick 7th, that like the
Ohio, like all those guys will be gone.
Think about all these Ohio State guys we're talking about. And for those that don't know, maybe you don't have like big New Year's Eve plans, Ohio State is playing Miami tomorrow night, and they have multiple first rounders that could all be Giants targets.
Yeah.
Arvell Reese, Styles, the linebacker, who Caleb doesn't miss tackles.
Caleb Downs.
Carnell Tate, the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
All of those guys will be on display tomorrow night.
They might have 5 first round picks.
Those guys are all going to be inside the top 12.
I know, but they might have 5 first round picks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be it. So watch that tomorrow night, and you come back, call the show on Friday, and tell us that you want the Giants picking 7th. You want to ensure the Giants get one of these guys.
And Caden McDonald is the other kid. He's a D-line.
They're loaded.
He's the 28th prospect in this draft.
They're loaded. And Bain will play in that game for Miami, too.
Yeah.
So that's a college football player.
I mean, that's the game to watch if you're picking in the top 10.
Top 10. That. And then, obviously, on Thursday, on New Year's Day, at noon, you get Oregon and Dante Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 4 o'clock, not 5 o'clock cheer.
That's Oregon.
Oregon, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, right.
Sneaky good defense, Texas Tech.
Right.
Indiana, Alabama. So you get a bunch of those Alabama guys, plus Mendoza at the Rose Bowl at 4 o'clock, and then Georgia, Ole Miss. So NFL, this is our time. Evan knows he still has to parachute in because he doesn't watch college football till the end. Draft time, Giants and Jets fans, the next 2 days, sit down, crack open a cold one, and get lofted in because you're going to see the most competitive football you've seen all year, certainly.
Right.
888-808-1019. Dave in Grand Central Park. Dave, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Sean and Tiki.
We're good.
Grand Central, how y'all doing today?
We're good, man. What's happening?
What's up, Dave?
Great. I got a great story from when I was a little kid to go see the ball drop.
Go ahead.
Me, my mother, and my father, we went out to go see the ball drop. It was freezing cold out there. And, you know, some crazy guy decided he wanted to strip butt naked and get arrested. But that's not the story. Right?
Okay.
So we see the ball drop, and we're walking back to the train to go back home to Queens. And we happen to be walking by the All-Star Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I remember the All-Star Cafe. Yeah. Yeah, that was like Tiger Woods and all those. All those.
They all owned it.
They all owned it or something like that.
Yeah. So we're walking by that, and my mother just happens to see Shaq's shoe in the window.
Okay.
So my mother's like, David, come shoe. But then there's some lady that's blocking the shoe. So she's knocking on the window to get this lady to move. This lady just happens to be Shaq's cousin, and she sees us and invites us into the party.
Oh, get out. Come on.
Yeah, so I'm like 10 years old, my mother and my father. We get into this party in the All-Star Cafe. They fed us. I had me a nice steak dinner that night. They gave us all types of shirts and tote bags and everything. And the best thing that I remember is I'm on the dance floor with this hot high school teacher, and I couldn't believe it at 10 years old. You
know? Now, Dave, that's a New Year's miracle, man.
Right. I'm telling you, I had to tell the story to somebody.
Right.
You know, so y'all was talking about this in the ball drop. I'm like, that's a great story. And to tell you the truth, you know, I'm over here tearing up remembering this story because it was so awesome. And I remember it. And actually, to tell you the truth, while I was waiting to get on the phone with you, my mother, my father, and my brother tried to FaceTime me. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to get on WFAN.
Now you can call him back and
now
tell
you
him
can
he
call
told
back,
the story.
Dave. Happy
Appreciate
New
you,
Year.
Dave. Happy Great New Year. He didn't even
story.
See the ball drop. He's dancing with the hottie.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, there's a classic example. His biggest memory of seeing the ball drop is not seeing the ball drop.
Yes.
It's to dance with a hot high school teacher and see Shaq's cousin.
I remember the All-Star Cafe. That is actually a cool spot because we would do events there.
It's a cool concept at the time.
I feel like I used to do a radio show or a hit for a radio show there.
At the All-Star Cafe?
Intermittently. It wasn't all the time. But they would set up this little spot, and I'd go do a radio, like, interview. It was a cool spot.
Yeah, Planet Hollywood was technically the theme behind it.
Yeah, right.
It was owned by Planet Hollywood. Recruited Wayne Gretzky, Montana, Shaq, Ken Griffey Jr., Andre Agassi, Monica Seles to invest in it.
Didn't Tiger Woods, wasn't he involved in some way?
I thought he was, too. It's not
but
listed
maybe,
here.
Maybe he wasn't, but I felt like he was.
So it opened in Times Square in December 18th, 1995, so right before New Year's.
Yeah.
They later opened one in Las Vegas and Cancun. And then they had the All-Star Hotel opened up after that. I'm trying
but
to see
would
when
have
closed
they would have these guys show up.
Yes, for the big, so it was 4 years.
Yeah. It didn't last long.
No, so that would have been right at the beginning of your career, too. 1999, they kind of all shut down, so they had 4 years of it.
Right.
That's crazy to think about. Yeah, and then the last one closed in 2007. That is nuts. And then the ESPN zone took over after that. That was like a big spot to go to. And then WWE, didn't they have a place in Times Square? Dave in Queens. Dave, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I want to switch gears a little bit over here, and I want to defend Aaron Glenn.
Sure.
Okay. It was an unpopular thing to do, but at the end of the day, I think a coach can only do so much, right? And you need talented players on a team. I'm a diehard Jets fan, and I haven't heard of half of their roster, right? Even if they had the best coach in the NFL, you still have to have players in order to compete at a really high level, and they don't have players that compete at a really high level. These players on any average or even a little below average would be on the practice squad, and
right.
That's an issue.
So no,
I don't understand. I know sports is like an emotional thing to like overreact. What can we or who can we attack, you know, in order for this team to be better? Really, it's an organizational thing. The Jets are – I only started believing in curses since starting going for the Jets.
Dave, can I just push back a little bit? I think you're generally right, but I think we're also now over-exaggerating this. Do they still have Will McDonald? Do they still have Quincy Williams? I mean, A.D. Mitchell and John Metchie are still professional wide receivers.
Yeah.
Your offensive line has two really good bookend tackles.
Breece Hall is really
Breece
good.
Hall is an awesome running back.
So, Joe Tippmann's better at guard than he was at center.
Yeah, you're not wrong in terms of like they're less talented than some of these teams. They're not that far less talented that they should be giving up 40 points and getting blown out of the water in the first halves of four straight games. That is unacceptable.
That I agree with. The only thing I push back on that is that what makes a great team, besides having good players and a great coaching staff, is a gel of a team. I use the Knicks as an example all the time. Like when you watch them night to night, they're so cohesive. They're so gelled together.
Yeah, the Knicks.
Jets, even if they have good players, it's so inconsistent in different areas that they have like some players that would be on a practice squad on a regular team, and then they have potential a Pro Bowler. So like, there's zero consistency. There's zero gel, and that's the only thing I think that is making this team not go forward. But to say to fire Aaron Glenn after 1 year of inconsistency around the entire organization, I think it's just an overreaction in sports craziness.
Well,
you've
got to
give the guy another year.
And Dave, you're probably right. And it's likely what's going to happen. I mean, look, when you listen to Jay Glazer talk about this, Glaze says he's safe. And if Glaze says he's safe, then he's probably safe because Glaze is right about everything. But it also puts a worry in your mind that this team is not playing hard for him.
Yes.
That these games, while they technically don't mean anything, don't mean anything. That's the feeling you get with about this Jets team, that these games don't mean anything to them. It can't be that way.
No, and I was going to say, we have this conversation every year with these bad football teams, and we use the word culture so much.
Yeah.
To me, culture means the most important thing for a coach's first year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you establish very early on, hey, listen, we know we're undermanned right now. We're gonna show out on that field. We're going to fight and claw.
Right.
Maybe we find our way to upset a win, but at least we know we're going to put our best foot forward and get embarrassed. That's alarming to me. That whatever his plans were for establishing pride and culture, this ain't it.
Yeah.
And if it's not there now, what are they going into the offseason with any belief, whatever guys are left in that room, thinking of what Aaron Glenn's established there?
Right.
He's going to walk away from this year having established what, Tiki, exactly?
I mean, a good running game?
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
And a good special teams. I guess the special teams are let's be fair. The special teams have been exceptional.
Yes, one of the best units in the league.
Best units in the league. They make their field goals. They return well in kicks. They cover well. Other than that, there's not a lot to point to other than Breece Hall having a really good year.
And that's alarming. And you're right. It might be an overreaction to say to fire Aaron. Yes, it is an overreaction. But you also need to have an honest question about what is next for the organization in year two.
Yeah.
And how long a leash is Aaron Glenn going to have? A lot of coaches wash out after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you asking Aaron Glenn to do in year two to ensure that he's here for a year three? And then you don't want to do the thing where you keep him too long, where it feels like the Giants did that with their regime. It's all about threading that needle. And to establish a good year two, when you have Brady Cook playing quarterback right now, that is a huge question the Jets have to answer. And I am worried they're going to dump so many assets into a guy they don't believe in by not having the first overall pick.
And in general, I think it's 3/4 years that you have to give your new head coach. You can't the firing after 1 or 2 years, it's not fair to anybody.
You didn't have enough time to establish anything.
And you haven't turned over the roster enough. You haven't established a culture with the new guys that necessarily are coming in. When a new coach comes in, a third of the roster turns over. It just is what it is. And so that second year becomes more important than the first year. It's interesting when you think back about the Dabbs era, the 4 years that he had,
mm-hmm.
three and change. The first year, he got the culture right. It was like immediate. And it was the second year where it waned.
It waned right off the bat on opening night in Dallas.
Yeah. And then the third year, it was just, what the heck was that?
He got some of it back in year two when DeVito played and they had the energy back.
At the end.
At the end.
Right.
But year three, it all went out the window.
It was out the window. And last year, it was his own doing. You bring in Russell Wilson and you promise him he's going to start instead of letting Jackson Dart win the competition, which he probably did in preseason.
He ironically pulled a Russell Wilson with Matt Flynn.
100%. And if he lets it start organically as opposed to trying to control it, then Jackson Dart probably saves his job, to be honest with you. And I don't know. Maybe he's worried about more things like what's wrong with our defense. Maybe I get rid of Shane Bowen in week 4.
Right.
As opposed to waiting until, he's fired and now Mike Kafka has to do it. And it's like the littlest things tip the scale in one way or another.
Felt like he was worried about outside perception.
And I think the whole, I'm going to draft a quarterback, I'm going to groom him, and that's going to help me keep my job was his biggest problem. If you draft a guy and you know he's the guy, and I think a lot of Giants and people in our organization felt like Jackson Dart could be that guy early, you roll with him. Just go with it. We're past this stage of, hey, you got to sit for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, it worked with Jordan Love, but that was extenuating circumstances because you had an MVP in Aaron Rodgers.
Totally different scenario.
It's a completely different scenario. You didn't have a quarterback. You had Tommy DeVito and 2 free agents who were not starters in the NFL anymore.
And so much more than quarterback, Tiki. For this organization in this town, when Saquon walked out the door, they didn't have a face of the franchise.
No, you're right.
And Jackson Dart became that, but too little too late.
Yes.
For Brian Daboll.
That's right.
888-808-1019. Eli in Savannah, Georgia. Eli, you Savannah banana. What's going on?
What's happening, Eli?
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
What's up?
Give Justin a special high for me if you can. I would just like to talk about how Giants on social media are going losing the first overall pick out of proportion, you know? Right. I don't think beating the Raiders is bad, especially when those teams are going to be desperate for a quarterback, Jets, Steelers.
And yeah. For the Eli, you're getting a little choppy there, but your point about, hey, we're blowing it out of proportion losing the number one pick. You're right, unless the Giants lose the number two pick and fall that far back, which is the situation I just
pointed. Yeah, but he's right. There are a bunch of teams that are going to need quarterbacks.
Yeah, the Browns. We keep forgetting about the Browns lurking, too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with the Browns. Shedeur Sanders has been average-ish, maybe a little bit below average because he's too many turnovers, but he's a rookie.
And they have their assets. They made that Travis Hunter trade.
Right, but he's a rookie. What do you expect?
Oh, I agree. And they've also screwed him up beyond belief,
100%.
Too. And he's actually fought above all the nonsense.
I agree, but the Steelers might need a quarterback. He mentioned that's one of the ones he mentioned where he's kind of choppy there. But there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback.
Yeah. The future, all those back injuries with Stafford, they have the Falcons pick. Mm-hmm. And they have two first-round picks. The Rams are always lurking in play there.
Right.
The Dolphins.
The Rams are most certainly taking a quarterback for developmental. And again, it'll be a late first-round pick. So maybe it's Ty Simpson.
Maybe it is. Right. That could be the Ty Simpson. Arizona, another team.
Wait, there are teams that are going to need quarterbacks. Just the Jets. We're focused on the Jets because we're here.
And you might not get the same assets you would get at number one to trade at number two, but you're still going to get assets.
Yes.
And that I'm totally comfortable with the Giants picking at number two and beating the Raiders. That's fine. It scares me if you fall out of a spot where now you're not only not getting the trade assets, but maybe not getting one or two, you know, those picks at the best player in the draft.
Right.
Because that's the other part about this draft coming up. There's a lot of good players. This is not, though, viewed as one of, like, the unbelievable, like, Hall of Fame top 15-player drafts.
Yeah.
I start to get, not to say they can't get a good player, I start to worry that a team with this many holes, if you're picking seventh after a 4-win year, that is not exactly what you're looking for. All I'm saying, play Dak Prescott. 888-808-1019. All right, continue to take your calls. Plus, I've been teasing this. We have gone over a lot of NFL potential storylines involving what the Giants or Jets could do at quarterback and coach. What is real? What is not real? I play real or no real with Tiki when we come back.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It is Evan and Tiki on the Fan as the sun depressingly sets on another New York day at 4:30. We have passed that winter solstice, though, haven't we? Whatever it's called.
Solstice.
Is that what it's called, the winter solstice, or is that just a summer thing?
I think it's both.
Is it?
There's two of them, Sean.
I didn't know if it was still called the solstice, because summer solstice flows together. I didn't know if it was like winter wonderness or something. I don't know. But the bottom line is this. It's technically getting lighter out later now, right? We've kind of done that plateau. We got to make that climb back up because I can't.
It occurred on December 21st.
Okay. So we're
10:03 a.m.
So we're on the upswing.
That was the shortest day and the longest night as the North Pole tilted farthest from the sun.
The North Pole tilts the farthest from the sun a couple days before Santa leaves the North Pole. That's pretty insane when you think about it.
I don't know what that means.
Haven't you lived here in New York your whole life?
Yes, Nico.
So why is it that you're like so like miserable when it comes to the winter? You should be used to it by now. Mm.
Why am I so miserable when it comes to the winter? Well,
I don't like the cold either, but I mean,
for one thing, Nico, I'm a big believer in life that you should always be miserable about something. It keeps you honest. It makes you appreciate the other things. And if I'm ranking things I'm miserable about, I have a lot of sports teams. No, winter's usually one. I think it makes me appreciate summer more. Like when people have said, like, why don't you just move to Florida, Arizona? You hate the winter so much, you miserable fat bastard. And I think to myself, But then would I appreciate summer as much if I didn't grind
now,
through this crap?
If it was always hot.
If it was always hot.
Now you're right.
I take it for granted.
Yeah, my brother was complaining today. I talked to him on the phone. It's like 57 or something like that.
Oh,
and
God.
He's like, oh, it's like cold down here.
First of all, cold down here. Your brother loves golf. 57, I think, is perfect golf weather.
100%.
Florida without the humidity.
No doubt.
Yeah, I hate them. I don't even want to tell you, Nico. It gets dark. It's depressing. Everybody's sick. I mean, you heard that caller, too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got some sort of flu going on right now because everybody's crunched inside. It doesn't end. I hate the winter. Hate it with a passion. Just get me to the point where it's light out at 6 o'clock. I'll sign for like 55 degrees again. All right. There have been a lot of stories we have talked about over the last 2 months in the NFL. Stories that are being written about in terms of what is next for the Giants and Jets.
Yes.
More so, I saw a back page cover today on Newsday on Long Island, getting on the train today, and it had a picture of Joe Burrow with kind of the message of, like, the Giants and Jets, I think it was Tom Rock that did the piece,
yep,
both need to do whatever it takes to get Joe Burrow here. And it clicked with me, Tiki. Before we end 2025 and turn the page to 2026, we know Evan is going to come in here, and the three of us are going to be doing these shows in the new year, in the midday, and we're going to discuss a lot of this. So I want to play a simple game with you. Real or no real?
Okay.
What will actually be worth talking about and what is just fodder because we like to have fun?
Nice.
I'm going to give you a name, and I'm going to give you two teams, the Giants or Jets, and you're going to tell me this is a realistic possibility this offseason or it's really not and it's not worth talking about. Okay?
Got it.
Couple names. Here we go. I don't really have imaging. We're flying by the seat of our pants. Jalen Hurts. Real or no real?
Not real.
Not real.
Meaning, coming to one of these teams.
Yes.
Most likely the Jets.
Could they either of these guys be with the Jets or Giants?
I don't see that. Because, look, Jalen Hurts is having an off year, so to speak, from his unbelievable season last year where they led them to a Super Bowl championship. And I know that people are extraordinarily excited, maybe a little prematurely excited about Tanner McKee.
Yes.
Who is their backup quarterback.
Stanford.
Played at Stanford. Missed the first couple years of his seasons at Stanford because he went on a mission to Portugal. He's Mormon. He's big as hell. 6'6", 250, smart, athletic, perfect ball placement, everything that he does. In fact, if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'd want him to be... Tanner McKee to be my quarterback.
They did not listen to trade offers on him in the offseason.
They did not because they think he might be their future. Now, he fell in a draft because he went to Stanford. They were good. He goes on his mission, comes back. They suck.
Yeah.
And so he had he's just an average last season and he put Stanford. But you saw him play last year against the Giants.
Yes, the last week of the year.
Last week of the year. And he's just a good developmental prospect. And I think at some point he will be the Eagles quarterback. It's not next year.
Not next year. So even with the Eagles' offensive woes, if they lose in the wild card round, you think Hurts is back?
Yes.
That's it. Okay. Real or not real? Mike Tomlin is a head coach for one of these teams.
Not real. I think Mike Tomlin wins this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens and once again gets into the postseason. 10 wins. Another, 19 in a row. Non-losing seasons.
Insane.
I think he gets into the postseason, and maybe Aaron Rodgers has some magic. So I'm going to say that's not real.
So Mike Tomlin, not real. Get out of your heads. All right.
Yes.
I got three more left for you. Now you set yourself up. You backed yourself in a corner. You said you think Mike Tomlin's winning Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh, real or not real?
This is real. This is real. We had a caller call who is a Baltimore Ravens fan. I think he's local down there, or at least has connections down there. And the conversations that we have about guys have run their course. Tom Thibodeau has run his course. Type of thing. That's what they're having about John Harbaugh now. It's the same thing that happens in Pittsburgh. It's starting to happen in Baltimore with John Harbaugh.
And
so if they miss out in this particularly bad, ugly game against the Steelers this week, I could see the Ravens moving on. Which means John Harbaugh, who when he was asked this question 2 weeks ago, basically said, I'm either going to be coaching here or I'm coaching someplace else.
Remember, he's 63 years old. For those of you who do the old, hey, a coach maybe takes a year off, Harbaugh, based on that age, is not really somebody that probably would take a year off.
No, and he said he wouldn't.
Right. He's a coach through and through. All right, right. So no on Jalen Hurts, Jets fans. No on Tomlin, Jets or Giants fans. But Tiki believes the Harbaugh chatter is real.
I do.
I got two more names for you.
Go ahead.
Real or not real? And I think both would pertain more to the Jets than the Giants. You mentioned Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson.
It should be, but it won't be.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm going to lean real here, you hear Harbaugh speak yesterday. If Lamar Jackson does not play in this winning in game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, this will be like the second time in 4 years he missed the game at the end with the winning in where the Ravens got extremely frustrated. Yeah. And you know, Tiki, you
and
talked
about... And it's a back. It's not like he's got like a knee injury or something.
It's no, we're not talking about an ACL. It's a back injury. Yes. And you've talked about the toughness of players. That's going to sour a lot of people.
But I don't... It's weird because a couple years ago, I could see why he's not going to play through injury because he hasn't signed a contract.
Right. That's true. That was what that was.
He was
right.
waiting for a contract. Now... Now he got paid. And so I think he plays in this game. I just don't know how well he's going to play because he hasn't been very good this year.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And that was something when we pressed Evan on it a few weeks ago about why he wouldn't be interested in Lamar. He brought up the injuries and his throwing of the football. But, okay, so you're going to call it not real, but it should be.
Yes.
Okay. Now, last but not least, because of Newsday today, Joe Burrow. If they remember, he had those comments a couple weeks ago where it sounded very weird about the love of football and all this other stuff.
And he said it was about other stuff and other things going on. It wasn't necessarily about hating Cincinnati and wanting to leave and tired of Zach Taylor and all those other things. He said it was other things, but you said what you said and we heard it.
So is it real or not real?
I think this is real.
Okay, so we got two and three. So Joe Burrow real. Now.
But I think it's, this feels like a trade thing.
Who's got assets?
The Jets. And so one of the things we keep talking about is what does this draft look like? Everybody's focused on Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore, both of whom could stay or whatever, just not be really those guys. But you have to explore the other avenues. And if Joe Burrow is disgruntled, now we have a little tiny inkling of it. It's not real, but there's a little tiny inkling of it. If he's disgruntled, you absolutely have to approach them and say, we'll give you two first-round picks. We'll give you something, whatever it is you need. If Joe Burrow could become a Jet quarterback, you don't even think twice about it.
All right. Now, Harbaugh you called real, Burrow we called real. I'm going to get into dreamland for you here, okay? In the dream scenario where by the draft, John Harbaugh is the Giants head coach and Joe Burrow is the Jets quarterback. Let's just walk with me to heaven.
The Jets don't have as many assets anymore because they have now traded whatever picks. They have five in the next first round picks in the next 2 years. Some of those are gone.
Okay, obviously.
Two or maybe three.
Are one, both, or neither playing in the postseason next year? A Burrow-led Jet team and a John Harbaugh, Jackson Dart Giant team.
They would have to get so much better.
I know they would, but you're talking about big changes at quarterback and coach.
I'm going to say one.
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 Now, are you going to make me press you and ask you which one?
It'd be the Giants.
Okay, you think the Giants would Harbaugh and Dart
I think the
Dart
Giants with
year.
A quarterback, and if he keeps growing and he keeps feeling good, scats back, run game is good, Tyrone Tracy, offensive line gets settled. Defense gets a defensive coordinator who knows how to design unblocked pressures as opposed to the nonsense that we saw for 16 weeks this year. I think this Giant team, and they have Brian Burns and Abdul Carter and Kayvon Thibodeau healthy, Dexter Lawrence maybe remotivated and in shape. I feel like this Giants team could be pretty good, especially if you draft a corner or an impact defensive player.
How about a linebacker that could tackle?
Right, something like that. I think the Giants have the potential. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they have the potential to be one of those, we sucked, and now we're pretty good.
Well, thank you. You know who else was bald? The host of Deal or No Deal, Howie Mandel. We're both bald, so this was real or not real. Our first edition. So when Evan returns and he brings up Mike Tomlin, we tell him, nope, we've already played that game, not real. Jalen Hurts, nope, we already played that game. But Harbaugh and Burrow, worth the conversation.
Burrow is definitely worth the conversation. That one needs to be explored.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Joe freaking Burrow.
I know. If he's really unhappy and wants to get out, all day. I'm calling every day of the offseason if I'm the Jets.
You know what would really suck? If the Burrow deal happens to another team with two first-round picks? The Rams?
Oh, God.
Do they need that? How unfair
would
that be?
That's something the Rams would do.
Yep, of course they would. They already worked for them one time.
Yeah.
Oh, that would bother
them. Who is it? Snead? Still Les Snead?
It's got to be, right? I don't think Les Snead left, did he?
I mean, he shouldn't have.
No.
I mean, he definitely didn't get fired.
No, but that would be him stepping away on his
own. Yeah, it is still him. Leslie.
I think I just cracked it, by the way. He's dead. Burrow's definitely going to be a Ram, isn't he?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Neil in Boston. Neil, what's up?
What up, Neil?
Hi, guys. Big time Giants fan for 50 plus years. The question is Brian Flores out of the running? I mean, I know he's got a lawsuit against the Giants and some other teams. And there was some controversy over his, you know, management when he was a head coach in Miami.
Right.
Is it possible that he could become a head coach at a Giants?
Anything is possible, and it really wasn't. It was really mistreatment of players, especially the quarterback. Like, Tua had nothing good to say about Brian Flores. It was just how he treated people down there. Fired his offensive coordinator, I think, each of the years he was down there.
Yes.
And so it was more of his management style.
He was abrasive.
Abrasive. Now, I mean, I don't know Brian Flores well, but I've met him a few times, doing some Minnesota Viking games. I think he's great. And the challenge is going to be this lawsuit. And can you hire a guy who's suing you?
I think you have to drop the lawsuit.
Absolutely you would, but can you hire a guy? Do you even interview the guy that's suing you?
And again,
the answer to that is probably yes, you can, just legally. But the optics of it are just weird. It makes it very awkward to have a conversation with a guy when he's got a lawsuit against you.
Now, he is also a free agent as a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
He's not signed. So he had a quote about this today.
Did he?
Yes. This was his quote. I love Minnesota. I love this team. I love working for and with KO, that being Kevin O'Connell.
I loved working.
Past tense. No. Love. L-O-V-E. Okay. He's been fantastic to me. I think the Wolves are some of the best owners in the league. I love these players, the coaching staff, and like I said, Minnesota has shown me a lot of love, and I show it right back. And so I don't know how much more there is to it. I mean, if everything lines up and it fits, from a football standpoint, it fits. And I think there's always a, let's call it, a business part of this. Mm. The football all lines up, and we'll just see where it all goes.
Business part of this mean he needs to be making $2 million a year.
He wants to be paid as the highest defensive coordinator of football.
Yeah, and that would put him up around $2 million.
So here's my read on this. I think that the lawsuit stuff, now he did an interview for the Jets job last year. I don't think he's going to be the Giants head coach based on it.
Yeah.
I don't. What I think inevitably is going to happen is I think he is going to get paid a boatload of money to go be a defensive coordinator by the Dallas Cowboys. Need a big defensive coordinator. Just like Dan Quinn went that route. And I think Brian Flores is going to continue to rehab himself as a head coach.
Right.
And he'll be a head coach
but
after.
He's so great as a coordinator.
He is so great as a coordinator. But I could see him.
That would be a worse nightmare for us.
If he's facing the Giants and Jackson Dart twice a year, I agree. That's my fear. Because who loves to throw money at that kind of stuff? Jerry Jones. And their defense has been abysmal this year. I think he's out at Minnesota and he'll be the Dallas defensive coordinator.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's a bidding war.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Jones ain't going to have to. Now, the Wolves have a lot of money, but.
Yeah. But.
How much you want to pay a defensive coordinator?
Exactly.
888-808-1019. Conrad in Cherry Hill. Conrad, what's up?
Hey, Conrad.
Hey, love the show, guys. Quick 2 points. Not really quick, but if you allow me to make it, it would be great. And this is going to piggyback off what the caller just called with Brian Flores. And this is the problem that I have with my Giants that I adore and love. It's the freaking ownership. Mara, and God bless him with the battling cancer that he's going through right now, is a different owner than his father. His father, I believe, was more in tune with the players and the team. And Tiki, you probably could attest to that because from what I understand, you had a great relationship with Willington Mara.
I did. I also have a great relationship with John.
Yeah, and yes. And I think that speaks a lot more to both personalities. But as far as what I see, as him as an owner, he's not really truly, I don't know, he's not as invested as his dad was and making certain decisions, and you could see the results.
I think it's different, Conrad. But hang on a second. Let me explain it to you. I think it's a little bit different. So Wellington Mara, if you know Giant history, you know this. He was basically like the scout.
Yes.
He was one of the first scouts. He signed Tom Landry and as a player, and then he hired him as a coach. And like he was in it. Like he was really in it. And when he became the owner, he looked at it the same way. So he evaluated players like he was a scout. And so when he would meet, I'll just use my era because I know this intimately. When Jeremy Shockey becomes a New York Giant, he loves Jeremy Shockey because he saw my plays.
Right.
And he loved me because he saw what I evolved into from the struggle earlier in my career. John is more like a fan than he is a scout. So you understand the difference? So it's not like he's not looking at the details of what makes a player great. He's looking at, I just want this guy to be great.
Yeah.
So it's a different, and it's almost unfair because people want to compare him to Wellington, but nobody's going to be Wellington.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to be compared to his dad anyway. Right.
Yeah, but to your point, Tiki, and thank you for clearing that up. But that goes to what happens to our Giants here. If you look at the operations of it, we have a general manager that should not still be here. And his last... Joe Shane had 30 players to draft. Out of those 30 players, I think we probably got about 10 or 11 good ones.
Right.
So if you look at 2022, 11 players he had to draft, 4 good players came out of that, right?
Yep.
And we can name them if you want, but you could go ahead and look them up.
Yeah.
2023, we had 7. Out of the 7 players we got, we only got 1 okay player out of that. 2024, we have 5 players, okay? Out of that, we got good 4 players that I would say that are okay.
Right.
The 2025 one, we got 7 players, but we got 4 good players that I would say that's
right.
Okay.
So the last 2
out
have been good.
Out of those years...
But
out of those years, we drafted 3 tight ends and we had no kicker. None.
Conrad, I'll speak from the fans' perspective on this point. John Mara did a good job at understanding when Joe Judge could not be the coach of this team anymore.
Yeah.
Shermer, McAdoo. The problem has been...
It's been hiring
the right guys. They've made the right calls. Now, this is the only thing that's going to crush me here is, all right, Dable went... I'm with you on the Joe Shane stuff. I think you could point to a lot of positives where you look at, all right, that guy's a good player, that guy's a good player. I think just the same discussion I had with Aaron Glenn, there's just too much negative. The team can't win 3 games in back-to-back years after winning 6 games.
Yes.
And that, to me, is an indictment on the roster build on the general manager.
It is, but it's also coaching. And you know this because I screamed it middle of the season. The in-game management stuff was a bad.
Yes.
It was really... really bad. The decisions from both coordinators were bad. So I understand that Joe Shane hasn't put together the perfect roster, but you don't lose games because you have an inferior roster. I mean, hell, look at the Saints. Look at some of these other teams
that
are finding ways to win games even when they're not the better team. It comes down to coaching. You got to have good coaching, and the Giants didn't have it. Now, part of that. And I love Dave's. You guys know this. I had frequent conversations with him. He was my dude. I loved him as a coach. I think he got like too prideful, right? It became too much about proving everybody wrong as opposed to keeping the culture right.
Right, just the job.
And so it was just not the same. Like year one, he had it. Everything was exactly right. His emotion, all that. And then it got out of whack, and then there was infighting, and then there was distrust, and then there was, all right, I got to do this on my own type of thing. It sounded kind of exactly like Jim Fossil at the end of his tenure. And I remember this because we got on a plane. We lose to the San Francisco 49ers in that ridiculous wild card loss, and Jim asked me to come up and talk to him in the upper deck of this double-decker plane that we take, and he's just telling me, he's like, look, the pressure's going to be on me, and I need guys in my corner. And, you know, I need you to support me. And because he knew it.
Yeah.
Like he knew it was coming.
And coach then, is not
and, blind. And then we stunk and we won four games and he gets fired. So, like, it felt the same. You know what I mean? The pressure was coming for Daves and he knew it and he needed people in his corner. And then when once you start to get backed into a corner, you're fighting everybody.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if a friend is coming to say hi, you're throwing a jab. You know what I mean? And so it's ultimately that's what derailed Dave. See, like he couldn't relax into his job. It was too much pressure.
But isn't now obviously the Harbaugh stuff's a little different because you're getting a really truly established head coach.
Yes.
Isn't keeping a general manager whose resume the last 3 years might be tied to the past head coach, but yes, winning that few of games, aren't you already entering kind of like a hostile spot where the pressure's on the win right away?
There's absolute pressure on Joe Shane. There's no doubt about it.
Like, think about it.
But if he has another good draft, because Conrad just rattled off those last two drafts out of, you know, his 80% hit rate out of those last two drafts.
Sure.
Right? And guys that we know are going to be contributors, from Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter,
Malik Neighbors,
Marcus Bowe,
mm-hmm, Scadaboo,
like all these guys. Like, you know that these guys are going to be contributors. If he does that again, and then he gets the right game management, I do think the Giants can turn into a winning team. And the question is going to be, what's the culture? What's the accountability? And do these guys have that innate, we know how to win mentality?
The million-dollar question that I think every Giant fan would like to know is, if John Harbaugh became available, or let's just pick another coach. Stefanski. Those guys with the pedigree and resume they have could have probably a pick of a litter of a lot of the jobs that will become available this offseason.
Yeah. Would they take the Giants?
Would they take the Giants knowing Joe Shane is staying as the general manager? That's the problem, because you cannot have those guys say yes. And I'm sorry.
It's still New York. No, because of it. It's still New York.
Okay.
You can't have them say no because Joe Shane's there.
You cannot let Joe Shane be a deterrent to get a big-time head coach.
Right. Did Tennessee keep Borgonzi?
When they fired Callahan?
Yeah. I think so.
But they also just hired him after the didn't the other previous GM hire Callahan?
Yeah, I'm forgetting.
Was it Carthon?
Yeah, Rand Carthon.
I think that was kind of, they brought in the new GM under Callahan and got rid of him.
That's right.
So it's a little different.
Rand Carthon hired Brian Callahan, then they got rid of Rand and hired Borgonzi, and then he gets rid of
Brian Callahan. That's a little different.
Yeah.
That's my fear, Tiki. John Harbaugh has been in this league a long time. I just don't want him coming into a spot where he's like, hold on, I got to work with a guy who's already on the hot seat. But I guess,
yeah.
On the flip side, Harbaugh could take that job. If the Giants have a bad year, nobody's going to turn around and go, well, that's on Harbaugh. No, that is right. When Joe Shane would pay the price.
That's exactly right.
888.
That's why I think there's pressure on Joe Shane.
Big offseason.
It's huge. The pressure's huge on Joe Shane.
We cannot have another December where the Giants are sitting here with three wins and we're screaming and yelling that they won a game we didn't want them to. The fans are the fans are tired of it.
Yes.
Especially, you don't want to keep wasting Jackson Dart's rookie contract beyond this year, too. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your calls. Plus, I only have two Cincos left in the Cinco de 5-0 realm of this world before they become Cinco de Luncho. So New Year's theme Cinco coming your way. We are live until 7 o'clock when Scotty Farrell, Shake It Up, comes your way on The Fan tonight.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.